continue the wake-up call, 1300 WTLS and 106.5 FM. And it's a pleasure to have a professional athlete in the studio.
Yeah.
Other than Carl Wayne, Bear Woods is here.
Good to be here.
Bear, appreciate you coming in. He is in the CFL, the Canadian Football League, former Troy product, who is married to a Tattlesy girl, and they're living in Tattlesy now. Bear, it's good to have you down, and we should have had you before, but Carl Wayne, thanks for making the connection at church, catching him and strong-arming and bringing him in. So you got a little bit of time before you head back up north of the border. You say May you guys will be back at it. You were the Alouettes team in the Canadian League. Tell us about that.
With the Montreal Alouettes, this will be my fourth year going in there. I'm enjoying it a lot. I mean, it's good football and different lifestyle being in Montreal, Quebec.
Right. What's the difference there? I know there's some French-speaking folks up there, isn't
some.
It?
That's what it is. Yeah. Quebec is a French-speaking province. And, and that was a big living adjustment.
Are you polishing up on that language for yourself?
You know, visually I can see words and kind of pick out what they are. Speaking it, not a chance. You know, there's many times I meet anybody and they don't understand what I'm saying. I don't understand what they're saying.
I would figure on the team, you probably don't have to worry about that too much.
No, lots of American guys. And then and then the French players up there mostly speak English as well.
Yeah. So the season for you, you say, ends in November. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's obviously the off season, but you're about to go back to work here in just a month or so. What do you do during the off season? I mean, obviously you're living in Tattlesy now, so what are you working on?
This year's been a different off season for me adjustment-wise. I've been living in Atlanta, still training with my former teammates the last 3 years in Atlanta. With this go-around, just joined a gym over in Auburn, doing my lifting there, and also just doing my running here at the Tallahassee Field. And I'm no stranger to working out by myself. I've had to do that before my first year in the NFL after being cut my first time around. I had to work out by myself, kind of a Rocky style out in Troy in a barn all by myself, get my mind right. Wow. So I kind of enjoy working out kind of alone anyways. So.
Yeah. You were with the Atlanta Falcons working with their practice squad again for about 4 years, and your wife was an Atlanta Falcons cheerleader, and you guys met at Troy.
Yeah, it's something now. I'm telling you, the fact that she had intentions of cheering for the Falcons, being from Tallahassee, that was the closest team. That was her aspirations.
Right. Yeah.
And then I happened to be cut while she was going to pursue that, and then they ended up signing me back. No, she let them know right off the get-go that, you know, this has been a long engagement. We've dated for 4 years prior to Troy, and they had no problem with that, us dating. But it was really neat that we actually ran out of the Troy University tunnel together and also the Atlanta tunnel together. I've kind of told her, I said, you want to try for the Alouettes as well? We could do three different, you know, three different things.
Probably nobody's done that before.
Yeah, I know, across the border. But she laughed and said, well, we got our 15-month-old daughter now, so things have changed.
Do you think she'll go back to it at some point, maybe?
I really doubt it. She loves it. She loves to dance, loves to perform, and she's really good at it.
Yeah.
I know I always tell folks, I hope that our daughter gets her athletic ability, not mine. we'll see, though.
Yeah. Well, this is Jennifer Turner, again, who's your wife and from Tallahassee and obviously made the connection with you down at Troy. You know, what a workout. An athlete have to do to keep himself in shape while you're not with a team? I mean, you say you're working out now. How many hours of the day are you spending doing that?
Really, I learned this from Richard Shaughnessy, my strength coach down in Troy. It's not about how long you stay in there. It's what you do while you're in there. Mm-hmm. And my working out has kind of evolved. When I got to Atlanta, some of the older veterans, oh, Bear, you'll never last working out the way you're working out. You're just, you know, you're torturing your body, this and that. And, you know, I'm the underdog. I walk on at Troy, undrafted to Atlanta. You know, I'm the guy that's used to working hard. Now my workouts is just about being healthy. I finished this season healthy for the first time in my Canadian short-lived career so far. So my workouts now are just trying to keep my body in maintenance shape, ready to go play football. It's about running, so being in great condition to run.
Right.
Focus a lot of running. That's about 45 minutes by the time you stretch for running. Working out, I mean, it's just fun to lift weights. So, I mean, I can stay in there for 90 minutes. But usually about 40 minutes is when it's all said and done. It's how I can get my weight workout in. Yeah.
What is the athletes, the talent like in the CFL? And, you know, in comparison to being with the Falcons, seeing that, and obviously coming out of college, how do you compare all of those?
You know, I'll compare really, you miss with the offense and defensive line in the NFL is the difference from the CFL. And really that's the big difference between the collegiate level and the NFL. Those offense and defensive linemen, they're bigger and they can move better. The CFL, I told my buddies from Atlanta, I said, man, at my position, at middle linebacker, it's a faster game. The field is bigger, wider.
Yeah.
It's kind of
American. That's a point to make. Yeah. Dimensions are different. Yeah.
So players are faster. The game is faster. Our play clock is 25 seconds. I remember the first time I ever played, I started in the playoff games, that injury, and the next thing you know, I go from not even practicing to starting in a playoff game. I remember the first tackle of the game, and I get up, and that's a 25-second play clock. You would have thought I would have known that, but the way I was thrown in the fire, I learned really quick.
Yeah.
The game is faster, at least at my position, because it's American-style football as far as our college football. All the veer that you're seeing in the NFL now with the Kaepernicks, with the Cam Newtons, the Russell Wilson, that's been CFL ball for 100 years, having a quarterback who is a mobile threat and who can still throw the ball, getting to the perimeters like we see in our college football with the speed sweeps and asking you to cover ground. So it's a faster game in that aspect.
You bring up something with that that's interesting to me, and I'm going to go with this, is this rule, this we're calling the Saban rule, the 10-second rule. I mean, what do you think about that? Is it seriously something that could cause more injuries? What is your feeling on that? You're a defensive player.
Oh, man.
Because you're running at a faster pace in the CFL, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, when that rule was brought to my attention, me being a CFL player, I said, oh, man, you definitely don't want to come play this football. I know that. But anything that softens the game from a physical standpoint, from an injury prevention standpoint, I'm just not a fan of it. I mean, no one forces us to play this game. When we go from concussions to this time rule, I'm just thinking, man, this is not the football that I grew up admiring. And then I'm not old, I'm 27, but I mean, the way I was taught to play ball and where I see it going, I understand the injury prevention. But when I see, you know, I just have to second guess a lot of these rules. I think that's just something to kind of whine about.
Mm-hmm.
And who was it, Saban, that wanted
He's
that?
One of the ones, Bielema, the guy down at Arkansas, obviously. Okay. They're two of the outspoken ones who feel like.
You know, and almost, I mean, let's be honest, football is a lot like politics as well. If I had to go against what he's going against over here in Auburn, I would be asking for a slowdown as well.
Yeah.
Well, what about the grueling nature? You kind of alluded to that with the fact that, you know, it's a physical game. Mm-hmm. We expect that, and you know that. You signed up for it, but you are going up against these huge, strong guys that, you know, over the course of a game and a season, it has to wear on you, doesn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely does. I mean, these past couple of years, I actually missed 24 straight games in the CFL. I had torn my Lisfranc in my foot, and I had two screws put in, broke a screw through training, and I mean, and that was a non-contact injury. So when folks get contact injuries, I've been very fortunate on that realm. But, you know, it takes a toll on you. But when I see the way these concussions and all the topic, I know it's a hot topic and it's fun to talk about, but there's really no maliciousness that I see out there. We forget that my job is to dislodge the man from the ball, whatever that means. Now, if I go helmet to helmet, there's a difference between targeting. I mean, we can debate all day about that, and I understand protecting players, but when it costs you games, when you cost people games, you're costing people game checks. Because when it comes into the playoffs and you have a 15-yard automatic first down on a third down and who knows what, and it sets up for a scoring drive, and you know, all that plays a factor. So when a flag can prevent winning and losing, and you know, it's the ebb and flow of the game and there's a lot to go in. But as a player, that's not an excuse to make before the game because you don't want the officials to ever be a reason. I get all of that. But at the same time, it is a huge, you know, disparity as far as the outcome of the game.
Yeah. You say you came up in a small town outside of Jacksonville, Florida, and you compared it a little bit to Tallahassee, and that's been about 10 years ago, I guess, when you were getting recruited. What schools were interested in you, and how did you end up going to Troy?
Well, recruited, that's funny. I've never had the luxury of being recruited.
And you say you know, walked on, I understand, but did you get a lot of feedback from colleges, though?
My head coach, great man, great Christian man. He actually went to South Carolina back in the 70s and played. He was the leading rusher in Florida, but he didn't understand really the recruiting process. My father and I, and thank God for my dad, who was so proactive, was telling him, how do you get into these camps? How do you get this? I hear these kids doing camps. And I was very successful, a high school player. I played quarterback and safety. My dad and I made my own highlight video. Mm-hmm. And we sent it out to, I mean, probably 50 schools, spent money doing it. And we heard back from two schools, Ohio State and Miami. Miami at the time said that if they had seen my tape earlier, they would have offered me a spot. They offered me a preferred walk-on spot. Private school, can't afford that. But that was my dream school. I grew up a Miami Hurricane fan. And that was bizarre to hear from them. Then Ohio State, Coach Hazel was the receivers coach then. He called me personally, and at this point, I've been kind of tugged and pulled. I didn't even believe it was Ohio State. But sure enough, it was between me and two other in-state guys that they had at the time, and they ended up signing the two in-state guys. Me going to Troy was just a blessing from God because Mark Fleetwood, the offensive coordinator at that time, called my former high school head coach. They played a ball at South Carolina together. He was just calling to shoot the breeze. I guess saw his name on the recruiting list. Oh, let me see what Carl West is doing. And then my coach said, well, you know, I got a kid here who's a good football player. He wants to come play quarterback. We'll send him up to Troy. And that's kind of how that happened.
So you were going to be a quarterback. That's what you started as, at least.
Oh, that's right. Yep, I went up there as a quarterback and soon switched over. They wanted me to go to fullback before training camp even started. I was there through some of the summer workouts throwing. There were seven guys at the time trying to play quarterback, and I was built differently from them. And I said, man, I don't want to play fullback. Put me on defense. I'll play linebacker because I knew my athletic ability, my speed. Right. I wasn't going to play safety at D1. So I said, put me at linebacker, and then went from there.
Yeah, and the rest is history, as they say. Now, you've been through some of these workout combine-type things that we're seeing with the NFL potential players right now.
Yeah.
How much does that stuff mean to you? I mean, is that a big deal? Do you think when the guys are evaluating talent that, you know, this guy could jump in the, 10 feet in a broad jump or run the shuttle run so fast or whatever? What do you kind of make of all of that?
My spill on that is it's not the National 40-Yard Dash League. That F stands for football. It's not the National 225 Bench Press League, the National Vert League. It's the National Football League. And when you cut on that tape, you can find out who's a football player or not. I mean, I get it. They have money to, you know, that word potential loses you a lot of money. And I still scratch my head on how they're willing to spend so much guaranteed money on guys who don't have that proven game film.
Right.
But it's a very competitive league, obviously. But I do scratch my head with the emphasis put on the combine.
Yeah.
Once again, it's a, you know, kind of a dog and pony show sometimes.
Yeah.
But it does matter being athletic, because if you can take an athlete, that's the Clowney guy from South Carolina, holy cow, how are you that big of a human and can move like he can move?
Unbelievable.
It's sickening. If I could just have that 40 time, man. You know.
So, yeah, he's a freak of nature, isn't he? Yeah.
Freak of nature, but and I would take a chance on a guy like him, not him specifically, but a guy who might not be as proven as him even with those numbers and size. Yeah. I can get that, taking a chance on that. But
you see guys like him. You heard about him last off during his regular season play, and seemed like he was taking plays off and all that debate. You know, of course, he could have gone pro the year before, but he wasn't eligible. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're an NFL guy who's about to make a pick, I mean, those kind of things come into play, I'm sure, and you've been around these guys. What do you think?
Yeah, they come into play, but like I said, with him, if I was sitting there as the Texans and whoever,
who's
at the
your number
top,
one pick? Yeah,
I mean,
is it Johnny Manziel? Does he have a shot? Do you think he's going to be successful?
He's a football player. That's what I like. Just like I like Tim Tebow. He's a football player, man. The dude. If a guy can win, a guy can win.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. But as far as Clowney, I'd be hard pressed not to pick him, taking plays off. I mean, you kind of see from him kind of the basketball outlook as far as guys leaving or not leaving, as far as college wise, you know. That he might have took plays off because if he gets hurt, I mean, there's his well-being is on the line. So that was kind of as a teammate or player, I wouldn't want to see that. But, I mean, ultimately, he has to look out for himself. And that's not personally the way I would play. I mean, if I put a helmet on out here in this yard, I'm going to go play football. But, you know, I'm not going to blame anybody for making a decision about their well-being.
Well, it's interesting. He was probably the surefire number one pick a year before.
Right.
And now all of a sudden there's that debate. And I don't know if that question comes from what we saw, like some of those situations last year and what Coach Spurrier said along the way, too.
Right, right.
Now, I wonder, you know, DeMarcus Ware has been a Cowboy. I'm a Cowboys fan, and he's been with them for a long time. Is now just been cut. And he's a guy who's an unbelievable player, all-pro guy, and he's going to the Broncos from Troy.
Right.
Did you get to work out with him or see him any? I know he came a little before you, but do you have a relationship with him in any way?
Not a personal relationship. No, I've had the privilege of meeting him. And when we played in Denton, Texas against North Texas, he would come and support. And he came to Troy a few times, but I never got to personally become friends with him. But, man, he's a tremendous player and a great ambassador from Troy. I mean, any guy that you don't see in the news media a lot, you know he's doing things right. I mean, when he's mentioned, it's because of his dominance on the field. And personally, I'm not a Dallas fan, but I'm glad he's out of there. I want him to go somewhere where he can win.
Yeah.
And get to the playoffs. I mean, the Cowboys. They're the Cowboys. You know, the
CW and I, both Cowboys fans, have been struggling here with them for lately.
Been a big time stress with them.
And then you've got Derek Angeley from Tallahassee, who was down at Troy. Get a chance to kind of see him any, or he moved on probably right before you came in?
He moved on. I actually didn't hear of him until I came started dating Jennifer, and she told me. Mm-hmm.
And you do at least know another Tallahassee guy who was in the same league as you, Damon Washington. You've been able to see him a little bit. Mm-hmm. He's playing up there as well.
Yeah, he's with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers and doing very well for himself. I mean to tell you, he has a special talent when it comes to returning kicks. I mean, I know I've had to chase him around. I know that he can move, and he's done very well for himself and representing Tallahassee, for sure.
Well, it's interesting what you're doing, and it's great to have you here. And Carl Wayne loves seeing you at church, and appreciate you setting this up, CW. Good job. Bear, good luck with things. By the way, I know you get to ask this all the time, but you didn't think you could get to walk out without me asking about the hair.
Oh,
how long have you had that going? I mean, this must have taken a while to get it that way, right?
Yeah, 2008. My wife Jennifer, she actually dreaded it up for my hair, is in dreadlocks, and she did that in 2008, and I actually cut it once a year. It's hard to believe, but I cut probably about 8 inches off not too long ago. I mean, it grows really fast.
Yeah,
right.
But when did that start?
I guess going into my junior year, and then it became kind of like my calling card.
So that's true. I mean, if people think of you with that, don't they?
Yeah, the hair. I mean, it's strange. I'm a pretty recognizable guy, and I would like to think it's a lot to do with football, but it's like, hey, every time I walk in somewhere, you play football, right?
Yeah.
That's right, Troy. Because, I mean, the hair, white dude with red dreadlocks. It's hard to miss in South Alabama.
Yeah, well, I saw you, it seems like it's been a year or so ago. I guess you were down in town, and I said, I knew him. I recognized you right away, driving around in your pickup truck there. All right, well, good luck again with the upcoming season in the CFL, the Canadian Football League. Appreciate your time this morning, Barry.
I enjoyed it.